Hello everyone and welcome to the 2024-2025 FPL Family season. It's officially kicked off, Sam. The game is not even live yet and here we are podcasting. We've got player prices. We thought we had a tournament coming home. More on that in a second. Aww. But Sam, this is the eighth season of FPL Family. Welcome back. How are you feeling?
Sad.
Don't start like that. All right, no, so I give it the big one like that and you're sad. No. But we are a little bit, aren't we? I mean, come on.
So
come on.
Okay, so I'm very divided. I'm a person divided. Because from FPL coming back.
Oh, buzzing.
Right, Thursday, start dropping prices.
Yes.
This is the bit where I'm like, I'm fully invested.
Hyped.
From the second the first player drops, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know? And so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, living the dream.
We just got through to the final.
The dream was still alive.
Everything
was still on. We're living the dream. England have beaten the Netherlands. I'm on a high from Wednesday evening. I wake up Thursday morning, bang, there's a Haaland price. I'm like, oh, hello.
Yes.
Life couldn't get much better than this. And then Thursday plays out, Friday plays out, Saturday plays out. We had a lovely day on Saturday. Saw Az and Yelena. It was like a nice FPL weekend.
We did. FPL besties, yes.
Fully FPL weekended. Great stuff. Sunday rolls round and I'm feeling positive.
I genuinely thought we were going to do it. And there comes my ridiculous England bias. Because Spain were clearly the best team in the tournament.
Oh, and we were terrible during the tournament. And they played really well. I watched Spain live during the tournament. And they were excellent. Like, I watched them play.
But we just had this mentality. You've got the Jude bicycle kick. You've got the Trent penalty. Had all these moments. And I just thought, we are not a better football team than Spain. But we could have a moment. And I thought we were going to get it because we had Cole. And even then, in the sort of dying embers of the game, you had the Declan Rice header, didn't you, from point blank range.
To Gaye. Which was,
and then Gaye with the follow up. And you're like, oh, God, dear me. Yeah. Not to be.
We did have a moment, not though. We did have a moment from Cole Palmer. Comes on the pitch for 3 minutes, scores a lovely, lovely goal.
Wow.
And I thought in that moment, do you know what? Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
But alas,
listen, I think it is probably time for a changing of the guard in management. I am absolutely not one of these England fans that is like Southgate out, you know, rubbish, he's got to go. Absolutely not. You and I are both old enough to remember what it was like before Southgate. And we've had golden generations before. We've had Scholeses and Lampards and Gerrards and Beckhams and Shearers and Rooneys, and we've never won anything then. So anybody that wants to come at us with any of this Southgate out nonsense can get lost. He's created an environment, a high performance environment, where we've got to back to back finals.
And also, they believe, like, that's the thing, like the camaraderie and the feeling in that camp. I know we didn't play particularly well. It'd been a long, hard season for a lot of players. I'm convinced that some of them weren't fit going into it, Harry Kane. But the feeling and the atmosphere and the togetherness, that's something that is created by the manager. And to create that at international level is something that deserves recognition, because you'll get those players for such a short period of time every season because they're often with their teams and they're not playing together. And you have to build that quickly. And that's something that Southgate has done incredibly well with England. So, yes, I'm disappointed. And, yes, I'm a bit sad. But it just means it'll have to come home in 28 instead.
Yeah, and congratulations, Spain. Thoroughly deserved. Yeah. Thoroughly, thoroughly deserved. And what a couple of players they've got, particularly the lads on the wing. Lamine Yamal, 16 years old.
I'd take one of them in FPL. Imagine that the price would be there.
Nico Williams as well. Unbelievable, wasn't he? Unbelievable. Anyway, we shall move on from the Euros. Because in but a few weeks, Sam, we've got a new season of FPL starting. Mm. And we have some prices. A lot of prices, actually. A lot of prices. I'd go as far as to say, there's probably only a handful, and I can only really think of one off the top of my head, and that's Heung-min Son, that we don't have that might have an impact on.
There will be,
like, I'm sure, right? But there's a lot of prices out there.
There's a lot of prices out there, but there's a lot of big ones that aren't out there yet. So obviously, you've mentioned the biggest one for me that I can't wait to see land, and that's Sonny, because that will make a massive difference to what we're all doing.
Why didn't Spurs put Sonny in there? Because every Premier League club's released a few, haven't they? But Sonny wasn't in there. That's weird, isn't it?
He wasn't in. Well,
last minute transfer to.
What?
Saudi or something? Is he
going? Oh, be quiet. You're just trying to wind me up. Is this the first pod of the season and you're already trying to wind me up?
Yeah, of course.
No, but it's the same with, like, so the Premier League like to release some of their big players themselves, don't they? They want to do the Salahs, the Haalands, the Sons. It would have been, you know, Kane, all of those guys. And you know, I guess Son is just one that, you know, they think is particularly important. Yeah. So they're keeping him. But we'll see. I think I'm interested to see that one. We haven't seen Saliba or Gabriel yet. And yes, I want to know what they're priced at. And there's loads of players still out there that I think, when you see the prices, when the game goes live, we'll suddenly go, oh, I forgot about you. How am I going to fit you in?
Yeah,
oh, I forgot about you. How am I going to fit you in? Because at the moment, it's all like, oh my God, how am I going to fit in the prices I've seen?
Let's start with the big news in our forward lines. You know, a name that's on everybody's list. And I think that one that a lot of FPL managers will be, you know, absolutely considering, you know, Jamie Vardy, 5.5, what were you saying?
I was like, this is the weirdest intro to Haaland I've ever heard. This can't be Haaland.
The big man, what are we saying? 15 million.
Oh, we're leaving Jamie Vardy million. There.
Oh, well, no one's thinking of... We've got João Pedro at 5.5. No one's considering Jamie, are they? Surely. No. Sorry, Jamie Vardy. But Haaland coming in at 15, the most expensive FPL asset of all time. Mm. Have they got it right?
Oh, Lee. So I, at first, was like, I hate it.
Really? Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first reaction was, I hate this. Why have you done this? This is, he didn't have a very good season in comparison to the season before. So I understood it the first season, the rise, because came in phenomenal, golden boot, everything, all of that jazz that we saw. This season, he wasn't as good. I'm not saying he was bad. Clearly, before you all come at me and say, don't say that. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't phenomenal. And to be the most expensive player in the game ever, I kind of feel like you have to be God.
But they're thinking of the game. They've put the game first, though. And I personally like it.
Right.
I personally like it because at 15 million... And I've seen, obviously, you haven't even got a game yet. We've not got all the prices. But I'm already seeing drafts on Twitter with, oh, without Haaland, you can do this.
Yeah.
Watkins, Isak and João Pedro, and you can have this midfield. And all of a sudden, well, he's not going to be the 90%+ that we saw game week one last season. And that's the key point, right?
That is right. And so at first I was like, I hate this. I hate it. Because I in my mind, the price of an FPL player should be governed by their performances on the pitch. However, last season, as much as I loved last season, it did become, well, the captain's armband just sits on Haaland and I can't sell Haaland. And at the end of last season, I tried to be a bit different and not give him the armband and all this stuff. But he was still, by the back end of last season, owned by over 20% more than any other player in the game.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the season, he was owned by over 90%. And for me, that is something that does take the shine off owning a player when they're that heavily owned, because you're not owning them then just because you really want to. You're owning them because you feel you have to. And if you don't have them and they bang, the absolute catastrophe that has on your rank is very difficult to navigate. And so whilst I don't like it, because I'm not sure he deserved 15 million on the performances last season, I sort of also love it because it's going to change fundamentally the way that every FPL manager thinks about Haaland, because it's not just a, that's it, he's in. Now, the sacrifices you have to make to have Haaland are astronomical. The players that you can have if you don't put him in make such a overall nicer experience.
I totally agree. I think that last year it was... I wouldn't say it was too cheap last year, but it was almost a, you know, there was a very strong template in game week one. Very strong template.
Not helped by Kane leaving just before.
Absolutely, yeah. Because if you were even considering not having Haaland, it was like, well, Kane's not there anymore, so obviously I'm going to have Haaland.
Yeah.
So I think from that perspective, you're going to get a bit of variety. We're going to get a bit of variance. Those that go without Haaland, and there will be plenty that look at Chelsea away in game week one and go, oh, well, perhaps I could go without him. are going to go into game week two, Ipswich at home, and think, well, goodness me, I mean, there's your captaincy, isn't it, for game week two. While we're on City then, because we've just... Okay, so that's Haaland in at a very high level, because there's so much more we could say about him. De Bruyne, 9.5, bit of a price decrease for him. Foden, 9.5 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Neither we assume on penalties, obviously, because you'd expect the big man on them.
Mm-hmm.
Rodri coming in at a slightly increased price as well, which I guess you'd expect, given he showed that he can score goals, get assists last season. But De Bruyne, Foden... I mean, actually, before you answer that question, I appreciate loads. I've gone off on too many tangents here. What do you think about the likes of Foden, Saka, Rodri, you know, Gakpo, those that have gone long in the Euros?
Mm.
Actually, there's 3 weeks until the start of the season? These boys are not going to get a break, are they? Never mind a pre-season.
Well, I was reading that...
Is Foden going to start the season, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Oh, Lee. Look, we can never guess what Pep is going to do at the best of times. But I was reading that a lot of the Man City assets that aren't back already because they've gone longer in international competitions are due back on the 5th of August. So that takes them back, 11 days before the Premier League season starts? So amounts of time for pre-season friendlies or any of that stuff. It's just back into some training, isn't it, after their holiday?
They've got to mentally decompress as well after what's happened.
But that's not the England players and that's not the Spanish players. So those guys, they've still got to have the conversation about when they're back. So I'd expect them back later. Oh, just the likes of Vardiol that's coming back earlier. So these guys that, you know, the Walkers, the Stoneses, the Cole Palmers, the Phil Fodens, the Rodries, all of those guys that have been away on their international duties and have got to the Copa America final or...
Yes, we shouldn't forget that.
The Euros final, you know, because we've got... I mean, from a Spurs perspective, we didn't have anyone in the Euros final, but we do have Romero and Lo Celso away at Copa America. Yeah. Now,
we have McAllister, we had Diaz in the final.
You had Diaz out there. You know, there's a lot of players out there. Martinez was out there, of course. Both Martinezes, in fact. So all of these players that have gone long in their international tournaments... You expect them to be given a couple of weeks break at the end of the season. Because let's not forget, they had busy seasons. It's not like they had a quiet season.
Coming off the back of a really long
season.
Hectic
season.
Yeah, yeah. That Saka looked absolutely cooked, didn't it? Some of these England players, I mean, there's a reason Foden, no goal involvements in 7 games at the tournament.
Mm.
Oh, it's just maybe the kid's knackered. He needs a mental and physical break.
And he's had a baby in the middle of all of this.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
So, you know, you've got to consider that when you're building your game with one team. And so for me, I have a lovely fake draft, you know, because you know what I'm like, Lee.
Oh, you have to. In
my head, I'm doing the numbers.
Is it written on actual paper with pen?
Yes,
old school. Love this.
I'm back.
Love this.
I've got old school. I've got drafts. About that 8 or 9 of them. And
the
about,
game not being released is not an inhibitor to you doing a draft. Get your pen and paper out, folks.
I don't need an app or an actual game. I'll do it all by hand and I'll get my trusty calculator out and I'll add them up. And of course, it's quite easy to add up at the moment because no one's 0.4 or 0.6.
Yeah, yeah.
So it works out quite nicely. But the point I was going to make is that about half my drafts have got Haaland in and about half my drafts haven't because... I quite like the draft. No, that's a lie. I very much like the draft without Haaland.
Yes.
However,
yes.
What we do know with certainty about both Haaland and Salah is that they've had a lovely restful summer.
Yeah.
They've not been away with 100%. Norway or with Egypt. They've got back into training early. And I look at the likes of Pedro Porro and James Maddison at Spurs. Nice rested summer. No international duties.
Notice Rashford played a pre-season friendly today. Yep. All right, they got beat, but still, he's played. He's on the grass.
Yep.
He looked relatively fresh-ish. He's 7 million in FPL. I mean, that's why I think the beginning of this season is going to be mega interesting. Mega, mega interesting. Beginning of last season, and even I played this way, I have to say, went template. Pretty safe-ish transfers for the first sort of 4 or 5 weeks. I just eased myself into the game.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to be like that this season. There's going to be, there's a lot of narrative. And even I tweeted earlier, I was just like, Palmer versus Saka versus Foden is going to be interesting this season because they're all about the same price. And then I looked at it and I went, well, are any of those three actually going to start the season? Because they're all back late. They've only just got back.
See, I think that there will be a sort of template. But I think the template will be very different to what we'd expect, because I think everyone will start the season still with Haaland and Salah. Because if you look at Haaland, arguably, in game week 3, you could sell Haaland at that point, and you could use that money. You could buy Watkins, who's about to go on a nice run of fixtures at that point. So you could replace Haaland with Watkins. You could save
yourself.
In
game week 3?
Yeah, after the Ipswich game. You could, could sell Haaland.
West Ham away, Brentford home for us, for Man City.
So you could, but you could use that money to then bring in somebody like Foden in midfield instead. So you cover the City attack with a Foden or whoever it is, KDB, whoever you want to go with. But that 6 million that you save by downgrading Haaland to Watkins could fundamentally change the rest of your team. And it means you still get the good captains for the first two fixtures in Salah and Haaland. And you're banking on players that already start. And I think there'll be a lot of people that go for Ødegaard over Saka for the beginning of the season.
Possibly, yeah. He's a little bit cheaper.
He's that little... Well, it's 8.5 Ødegaard.
Yeah, well, yeah, so 1.5 cheap. That's actually significant.
It's significant. And when you look at the numbers from last season, Ødegaard was really good. Just went a bit under the radar because everybody else was... step up. But when you're thinking about your team, again, another player didn't go away for the tournament because Norway. So we start to look at who is likely to be starting for their clubs in game week 1. And it's those players that I think you have to then think about really carefully when it comes to structuring your team.
Another one, Sweden, obviously not at the Euros. And Alex Isak is getting a lot of love as well, coming in at, remind me, 8.5, which I think is a really nice price for him.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Really nice price. And if you look at the Newcastle fixtures to start the season, Southampton at home, game week 1, love it, in front of the Gallagher. You know, Bournemouth, Spurs, Wolves, Fulham. Yeah, some tricky little away ties in there. I mean, Bournemouth's a hell of a long way to go for away in game week 2, isn't it? But, you know, you'd fancy Isak at 8.5, I think. There's definitely more to think about when putting the draft together this game week 1 than there was last game week 1, in
totally
my opinion.
Agree.
And I think the Euros is going to play a big part. Even Ollie Watkins, you know, I appreciate he didn't play much when the guys were out in Germany, but still part of the squad, still training. He had to be ready for the semi-final, and he was, and he came on and done his bit. He was ready and played in the final as well. So, listen, this guy's not had a rest.
Mm-mm.
And it's been very psychologically, you know, it's been mentally really challenging for all of the players that were out there in Germany. It's got to be, isn't it? It's got to be.
Mm.
With the circus that surrounds England in particular in this country.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyone going into game week 1 with, you know, maybe you don't have Haaland and you have Watkins instead so that you can afford Palmer and Saka in midfield. I don't know if I love it. I don't know if I love it.
So I do love it from game week 3, but I don't...
But I'm saying game week 1 is going to be really challenging.
But I think that's the point I'm making, is that I've looked at squads without Haaland and they're lovely, but you're not that many transfers away from getting to that by selling Haaland. And I think for me, going into the season with both Salah and Haaland, both rested, both fully fit, both ready to go game week 1, both with nice fixtures, because let's not forget the Haaland brace against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge last season. Those two, for me, feel like you've got to have them in game week 1, and then you can use the money from Haaland to spread the love across the Sakas, the Fodens, the Suns, the whoever it is that you want to go to afterwards.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And maybe we'll see a bit of a move towards early wildcards this season. Maybe we'll see a sort of like, you know, game week 3, 4, 5 kind of wildcard on the basis that one of the changes that... Because FPL have promised us a few changes, haven't they? One of the things I hope they don't change is that we have the two wildcards. We have the first half of the year and the second half of the year. If that stays, then I would expect that, you know, game week sort of 3, 4, 5, maybe we'll see some early wildcards as people start to spread that Haaland money around. But by then, he might have a couple of braces with those fixtures. It could be very difficult to sell him. Tell me about Salah then, because Salah's coming in at, remind me, 12.5, I think, same price as last season. Obviously, Liverpool going to look and feel pretty different going into this season. We don't really know what that's going to look and feel like yet. You were talking about him then as if he's kind of nailed on for you in the beginning, certainly for game week 1, given that you know, he's had this rest, he's got the new haircut, the very more aerodynamic Mo Salah, let's say. Arnie Slot. First time I've mentioned our new manager on a podcast. I've got his name wrong, called him Snot. Arnie Slot style haircut from Mo Salah.
Did you think he was trying to copy the bar?
I doubt it. Thoughts then? I mean, you were talking about him as if he's going to be fairly nailed on in your game week one score then, Mo.
Yeah, because you think about that Liverpool team, right? Luis Diaz away at the Copa America. Darwin Nunes away at Copa America. Gakpo goes long in the Euros. Who's left?
Well, Trent will be coming back as well, won't he? So
gone long in the Euros.
Van Dijk reasonably long, semis. Wrong. Yeah. Like, McAllister, Copa America. Nunes, Copa America. We've only got half a team to start the season.
When you think about who the leader is in that Liverpool team, who's the focal point in pre-season at the moment, it's Salah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
those around him will be much depleted. And I think you could say ditto for Haaland, right?
Yeah, yes, of course. But equally, look at the fixtures. Ipswich at home. Ipswich in game week one. Oh, no, it's an away. It's away, isn't it? Ipswich
that is a horrible game.
Yeah, but is it a 12:30?
And can I just shock you for a minute? It's a 12:30 kickoff.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? Oh, I saw a brilliant meme. Did you see the brilliant meme of Jurgen Klopp? There was somebody who made a meme of Jurgen Klopp sitting on a sun lounger, sipping a cocktail, when somebody said to him, Liverpool have got the 12:30 kickoff, and he was just laughing, saying it's not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
And it made me really chuckle, and it made me think of you, because I know how much you hate the 12:30 kickoff.
But listen, if you'd have said to me, what game do you not want in game week one, I'd have said Etihad. You don't want to go to Etihad early doors, but actually maybe the amount of players they're missing, maybe you catch them on a bad day. The second game I'd want the least, Ipswich away at 12:30. What a horrible game that is.
We've got to go to the King Power on Monday night.
Well, that's sort of okay, isn't it? I mean, it's not terrible.
What's the difference?
Not Ipswich on a Saturday lunchtime. Terrible stuff.
Monday night at the King Power?
Stitched up again.
Jamie Vardy trying to start a party. James Maddison's got to go back there. We got to go play against Harry Winks.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, it's all the dramas.
So much narrative. The Harry Winks narrative is there.
Harry Winks to start the season with a bang against Spurs.
Harry Winks narrative.
Oh, my God.
So Mo Salah, personally...
Are you not locking in?
No.
Oh,
no.
My
I am
goodness.
So...
What?
Unsure as to how we're going to look.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's end of era stuff. I'm sure he's going to come in and for sure he's inherited a good side. We've not seen any pre-season yet because we've not had any. I think we're due to play Real Betis in about a week and a bit's time. But we've not seen anything yet. And then you add in all of those absentees that we literally just listed, and it's nearly our first team. And we've got to go away,
Alisson,
to Ipswich on a Saturday lunchtime when they're going to be up for it, the Tractor Boys, first game back in the Premier League for how many years?
Ever.
Can't wait to take Liverpool as a scout with the new manager. That's a horrible game. So no, I'm not going anywhere near Liverpool players, I don't think. Unless I see something in pre-season that I really, really like. And then maybe I'll go there. But no, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm going there.
You going to go for Mo?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I will. But it's too early to say. The game's not even bloody released yet. I've not even put a draft together. So maybe I'll change my mind.
What is wrong with you, man? Well, have you not put a draft together? Surely in your head you've been doing mental maths.
I've been having a look at some players, but no, I've not really put anything together.
Oh, I've been starting at 100 million and counting down.
Well, all right, so Haaland, Salah we've talked about. We've talked about some of the England players coming back late. We've talked about some of the players that have had a nice long summer, like the Isaks and the Haalands, etc. Where are the bargains? Is there anything that FPL's got wrong? Is there any prices in there that you just go, well, that's just wrong?
I think João Pedro is 0.52 cheap.
I agree. Yes, I agree. I think six... If he'd have come in at 6.5, I don't think I'd have been... I'd have gone, okay.
No.
But 5.5, that seems like a gift.
Muniz is 6.
Yeah, and I saw think that's okay.
And I saw his price land and I thought, that's a real shame, you're 6. Because João Pedro's 0.5 less,
yeah.
I'll go with him. But actually, I'd quite like to have gone with you.
Yeah.
But the 0.5 is going to make a big difference, I think, as we go through this season. And I can see João Pedro being... I had him as my third forward last season, and I think I'll be having him again as my third forward this season.
Is he going to be a regular starter on penalties for Brighton? Well, Az seemed to think so when I asked him about it Saturday.
Az does seem to think so. But again, like you've just been saying about Liverpool, we've got new manager at Brighton.
Yeah, lots of unknowns.
So there's a bit of uncertainty there. We're going to have to obviously watch the pre-season friendlies for them and just see see how that pans out. But in my mind, if he's your third forward, does it actually really matter if he doesn't start every game?
Probably not, but you're going to be annoyed if he's on the bench, and because any, you know, players that take pens can get a pen any time.
Of course.
But he's a nice one to have. I agree with you. Probably.
He's better than Jamie Vardy.
And he's got to be better than Vardy. Yeah, he's got to be better than Vardy. The other one that I think is, I wouldn't say wrong, but I would say, you know, most of the prices they've put out so far, I've gone, yeah, that's about right. João Pedro, I said, that's too cheap. The other one where my gut feel was it's too cheap was Christopher Nkunku. Now a midfielder at 6.5 in that Chelsea side. Now, of course, we've got to see what Chelsea look like under the new manager, the ex-Leicester guy, no Pochettino anymore. But
sad times.
Under Pochettino, when he did get a game, or when he was fit, he was playing up front and playing alongside Jackson or instead of Jackson. And I just think, given that he was injured a lot last season, didn't really come to the party, they've sort of priced him, you know, probably taken probably like a mil off of where I thought he might be. I think if he was 6'5 and a forward, I'd go, okay, that's tempting. But 6'5 and a midfielder, I like it a lot if he can stay fit in Nkunku.
But that's the thing, isn't it?
Of course.
If he can stay fit, because he now has this injury doubt about him. The good thing I think about him being at 6.5 and a midfielder rather than a forward is that there are plenty of other places that you can go if he does get injured. It's not a massive deal. I think the thing that surprised me is that Sterling is 0.5 more expensive. And I can't understand...
Yeah.
Why that is. I can't think why you would want to spend 0.5 more on Sterling over Nkunku. I wonder whether a lot of managers might go for Nkunku over Palmer, especially in the early weeks.
To start
with, yeah.
If you
want Haaland and Salah, because we've got the uncertainty about Palmer arriving back at Chelsea and when does that happen and how much time off and blah, 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 and game week one and it's Man City and everything else. I'm not convinced that I will want to go all season with Nkunku instead of Cole Palmer. And I think I'm also not sure that I want more than just one Chelsea attacker, because last season...
Certainly not to start with, I wouldn't have thought. No.
I think we would need to see a big change in Chelsea under the new manager and quickly. And the problem is that Chelsea don't make big change quickly. It takes a while, we've seen in recent years with the new managers, for it to kind of be a settling stage, and it's not really the best pre-season to take over at a club, as we've mentioned, for Slot and for other managers coming in, because a lot of their players have gone long in international competitions and they've not had them all fully there yet. But
one to keep an eye on though in Kunku pre-season, without a doubt.
Definitely.
Without a doubt. There was a couple of defenders that I'll just throw into the mix that I thought, not really to the level of João Pedro and Nkunku, but I just thought, oh, that could be cracking value.
Yeah.
Julian Timber at Arsenal at 5'5", I think could be very good value. So keeping an eye on him. With him at 5'5", not that we know yet, we're expecting Gabriel and Saliba to be at least 6, aren't we? I would have thought I'll put them both at 6'5".
Oh,
Arsenal were elite defence last year.
So I think this is the... I think Timber's price signals for me, and Reyes, signals the end of the double Arsenal defence.
Yeah, probably.
Because
probably,
if they're 5.5, Saliba, Gabriel, Ben White, where's Ben White? Because Ben White was already more expensive than those two last season.
Yeah. Did he end up on more points as well, Ben White, than them two?
I think he outscored them both, didn't he?
So the FPL boffins with the calculators will be putting him up, no doubt about it. I could see all three of them being 6'5".
Oh. I mean, and that's the end of the double.
Well, yeah, probably.
And actually, maybe that's helpful, because that was killing me last season. So maybe I'm not that bothered about that. But I agree with you. I think Timber's price is really interesting, because, again, if he can stay fit and if he becomes the regular...
Yeah, I'm starting to say that a lot now.
And it's and that's the problem, is it's not nailed and guaranteed, because people seem to be quite injury-prone now.
We have this every pre-season. I do this all the time. I go, oh, he's well-priced. Well, he's well-priced. He didn't play any football last season because he was bloody injured the whole time. And that's where FPL kind of tempts us in with these injury-prone players, and we've got to be very careful with that.
But Saliba obviously went a relative distance.
Yeah.
Gabriel, though, could... Well, we have to see where he's priced.
And Raya's gone long, right? I know he didn't always play, but he's out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to have to see. But I think alongside... Do you know who I was surprised by?
Go on.
I thought Pedro Porro would be six. In my head...
Yeah, maybe.
My head, Porro was going to be six. Udogi was going to be 5.5. And then...
What's Udogi then? Five?
Five.
You see, that's more appealing to me than Porro at 5.5, I think.
I think they're both quite appealing. And I think it depends on how much money you've got.
Yeah.
So, both of them back in training with Spurs, full pre-season.
Yeah.
So, both of them looking nice. In front of a relatively... I mean, Van de Ven went longish. Obviously, he went out to England, sad times. But Romero's away, having won again. So, he's going to come back happy boy. But Vicario came back early with Italy. So, a relatively stable back line there. I know that Jagasan also did actually do all right, but he'll be back soon. So, I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by Spurs. The fixtures aren't great.
No.
They're a very mixed bag for Spurs to start the season.
Udogie's the only one that's catching my eye, I think.
I might go Porro, but it's going to depend on budget. If the budget allows, I do quite fancy a punt on Porro.
Elsewhere on defenders, though, I do not mind Martinez at 4.5 at Manchester United. Although they did concede a lot of goals. They did concede a lot of shots last year at Manchester United. Although, I will say, one of the standout performers for England in the Euros, in my mind, was Kobbie Mainoo. I thought we looked so much better once Gareth Southgate introduced him into the team. And it was a shame to see Trent obviously get dropped out of the team from my perspective, but it was the right thing to do. I actually thought he might bring in Adam Wharton, but he didn't. He chucked Mainoo in there. And
played really well, didn't he?
Oh my God, Sam. Mm. This, and it pains me because he's a Man United player, but this kid is absolutely brilliant.
He's a talent.
Just the calmness on the ball and the awareness of what's around him. I thought, and this is a bit of a big shout, and I'm prepared to be shot down here.
Oh my.
I thought his performances were as impressive in his position as Lamar's were in Yamal's position. Lamine Yamal. Because I know the kid's 16, but Mainoo's only a couple of years older than him. And Lamine Yamal's getting all the attention because he's getting all the headlines because he scored some worldy goals. And don't get me wrong, I think he is going to be the next big, big, big player. He looks absolutely fantastic. But if you look at what Kobbie Mainoo was doing in that England side, bear in mind, he's just come in.
He's just broken through.
He's only just started playing for Man U. He didn't play in any of our warm-ups or our pre-seasons or our, what do we call them, qualifiers. He just dumped straight in there in like the, not even the group stage, was he? He wasn't really playing there. And he just dumped in at the knockout stages and he come in and was magnificent.
Yeah.
And I think he will make a big difference to Manchester United when he gets back there and once the first couple of game weeks are out of the way and he's had his pre-season, all the rest of it, and he comes back into it. Or he might be one of those young players that's just hungry to get going. Maybe United say to him, look, you know, if you're mentally ready to go in game week one, you come in. And he'll make a difference at Man United and he'll make them defensively better. And I think someone like a Martinez at 4.5 is worthy of a look.
Interesting. I think there are a number of really fantastically priced 4 to 4.5 million defenders. And this for me is something that I think you have to get right. Because these are the players that can cost you 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 in the opening weeks if you get it wrong.
You don't really want to be spending a transfer to change them either, do you?
No.
You want to be fiddling about with your Haalands and Salahs and Sakas and Fodens.
Totally. And you can't afford in the early weeks of the season to drop to 99.8 team value. No, you just can't.
Disaster.
And particularly if it's on your 4 million defender because you've plumped for the wrong one.
Well, go on then, because I've seen Martinez, but you've obviously looked into these deeper than I have. Who else is on your radar?
Well, there have been a few that have come up. So I actually really like, I'm quite interested in Max Kilman and his move that he's made now. So he's obviously...
I've missed that. Where is he? I've missed it. I've just been all about England. So
he's left Wolves and he's gone to West Ham to be reunited with Lopetegui.
Has he really?
Underlying stats that Max Kilman has is his unbelievable conversion rates from set pieces. Now, one thing that we know about West Ham with James Ward-Prowse there is that they are decent.
Has he got unbelievable conversion from set pieces?
Because they don't convert that many from set pieces, Wolves, because they're not very good at set pieces. But but he's actually really got good numbers.
Okay.
His underlying numbers are good from set pieces. So I think He's one that I'm going to be keeping an eye on.
4-5?
4-5. Okay. And then you've got Davis, who is one of the new boys on the block. He's come up as one of the promoted teams. I'm gonna have to find his numbers because they were ridiculous. Something like 18 assists.
This is the really attacking guy, isn't it? Who's he play for? I don't know anything about this lad.
18 assists in the championship last season and three goals, I think. 3 goals and 18 assists in the championship. I think that's right. And when you're talking about your 4.5 million, that's what you're looking for, isn't it? You're looking for somebody who comes up and has good stats in the championship. Now, we know that Ipswich are not going to keep mountains
tons of clean sheets. No.
So you have to find the one that have got the attacking threat. And if you get 18 assists and 3 goals, I think that's right. I think it's 3 goals in the championship. That's worth looking at.
All right. Okay. Again, I'll take your word for it. I don't really know much about Ipswich and what they're coming up. I noticed they did release a few of their prices, didn't they? I saw the lad at 5.5, this midfielder Chaplin. Again, I need to do some research, right? But 13 goals, 9 assists last year for him. And when I tweeted about that, a lot of the reactions to the post were, what about the other lad? Oh, God. Hutchinson has the potential to do that. Followed his progress right through the Chelsea youth system, one of the comments says. So, yeah, listen, they've got some options. I really need to do a bit more research on Ipswich, but they'll have some options, I think. Who else at 4-5 is catching your eye then?
Well, you've got Taylor Harwood-Bellis at 4. He's Southampton. Now, underlying stats, not hugely brilliant. However, regular starter. And
at 4.0, you can't ask 4.0, for anymore.
4.0, that's all you need.
Okay.
That's all you need. I think there are
Bednarek also a 4.0?
Bednarek is, yes. Yeah, there's a few. There's Burgess as well at Ipswich.
So there's a few 4.0 options that will at least get game time. And that's all you want, isn't it?
That's all you need, really. I mean, I think there's some nice options. We've got Carl Walker-Peters coming back into the... Carl Walker's deputy when he was at Spurs all those times. He's coming back up. He's at 4.5.
Ryan Aitnori in at 4.5, who ended the season very well last year.
Yeah,
there is options at 4 and 4.5. There definitely is.
There's a lot of them, and I think you know when you like even Konsa at Aston Villa.
Yes,
at 4.5, there is a lot of decent options, and I think we will spend a lot of preseason. A lot of content creators will spend a lot of preseason talking about the Foden versus Saka versus Palmer versus Son versus whoever else you want to throw in. Should you bow Haaland? Should you go Salah? Should you do both and compromise everything else? Actually, I think some of the biggest decisions are going to be how many cheap defenders do you go with? Do you go with 2, maybe 6 to 5 million?
Yeah.
1 at 6, 1 at 5, something like that. And then all the rest in the 4.5, 4.5, 4 bracket. Because that might be the way that you enable your midfield to just be a little bit stronger.
Yeah, I agree. There's going to be a lot of rhetoric around that, no doubt about it. There was one other that was on my radar, and I've just got to check. He checks notes. Oh, yes, Bruno Fernandes at 8.5. Seeing him in a lot of drafts already. Yeah, what were we saying about Bruno? Are you going to be tempted by Bruno?
Not really.
Not sure yet.
The problem I have with Bruno is, and I feel like everywhere I go and every time I speak about Bruno, I bash him. And I don't mean it to be a Bruno bashing. Genuinely, I don't. Because when Bruno is brilliant, he is world class. However, last season, he was disappointing. At the Euros, I also don't think he was great. I think he was a bit disappointing there as well. Mm. And I just don't know with Manchester United how they're going to be this season. Like, I know that Ten Hag's obviously got his year contract extension, but you don't... At the beginning, we talked about how Gareth Southgate's created this really nice ethos in the England team and they all play for each other and all that jazz. That's not really happened at Manchester United yet. And if this season he can create that, then Bruno will be a phenomenal asset at that price. But I need, before I'm willing to spend that much of my budget on him, and I know it's not a lot of the budget, but it is a lot if you want a lot of 10.0, 10.5, 12.5, 15 budget.
Talisman on pens. Take some free kicks on set pieces.
I'm just not interested.
Cobby Mainoo there, so he freed up to do his thing.
I think I'd rather put Cobby Mainoo in.
Oh, shit, that'd be ridiculous. But no. Mainoo makes the likes of Rashford and Bruno a bit more
I just
more
don't
radar,
trust either Rashford or Bruno after last season.
All right, okay, can't tempt you with that one then. The only other one I was going to mention was, we spoke about Ollie Watkins. Who else was on my notes? Oh, Eze. So Crystal Palace have come out with their prices, and there was a few interesting ones. Eze in at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was there? We had, obviously, Mark Gahey, you mentioned, at 4.5. But Eze at 7, is he one that could tempt you? I mean, obviously went away with England and didn't get a lot of game time, did he? So got to watch for his return and when he's actually going to be around the squad. But 7 million, decent price.
Yeah, I mean, Gahey was phenomenal for England, wasn't he? Apart from the game he missed with the yellow card, the ball recoveries, and I thought he was one of England's best players at this tournament. He was phenomenal.
Oh, agree. Yeah, yeah.
And
been linked with Liverpool as well.
He's been linked with Liverpool. Eze's been linked with a move away. They've obviously sold Elise already. He's gone off to Bayern Munich to play for Vincent Kompany. Is a thing I never thought I'd say, but there you are. That's what's happened.
Big loss,
massive loss.
Big loss, I think.
Now, they have brought in a new boy already to replace him. And we obviously know that Mateta's price has risen. He's at 7.5. So you've got to pay more for Mateta than you have for Eze, which is interesting to me. I'm interested in Eze as a Palace player. Mm-hmm. I think if he gets a move...
I mean, if he goes to someone like Spurs under Ange, because that has been linked.
That's linked. And if that happens at 7 million, I think everyone's going there.
Yeah, you'd have him, wouldn't you? You'd have him. All right, last one before we wrap it up. We've talked a lot about getting injured players. Cheap injured players are going to tempt us in, Sam.
Where are you going with this? No, we can't buy you.
Can I tempt you? Me? I'm not that.
You're
I am quite injured.
Yeah.
Can I tempt you in to a Reece James at 5 million?
What? The guy that's suspended for the opening two games
of the
season.
Oh, yeah, that's
season.
True. Yeah, that's
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not,
I have got zero
I wonder
interest.
Why no one was talking about him.
Because he's suspended and because he's the biggest FPL troll to me ever. Every time I own Reece James, he either gets injured, sent off, or just doesn't get the start.
Well,
no
there
thanks.
We go. That's a fairly conclusive end to the first podcast of the season. So there it is. The first podcast of the 24-25 season is done. We are officially back for our 8th season. Thank you to everybody that's got this far in the podcast. And if you've got this far, if this is the first time that you've listened to the podcast, hit the follow, hit the subscribe, hit the whatever the hell button it is on whichever platform that you're listening to us on, because there will be much, much more coming your way throughout the season. Check us out on YouTube as well. Search YouTube for FPL Family. We will do a live stream every Sunday night, as we have been doing for the last 7 and a bit years, where we'll talk about all the weekend's action, and then we start to look forward to the next upcoming week in FPL. So that's every Sunday, usually at about 8:30. Might be slightly later every now and again on a Sunday this week at 9 o'clock, but some stage on a Sunday evening we will be live on YouTube. And if you can't catch us at that time, if you can't catch us on the live, obviously the replays are all available on YouTube, and of course we then put the audio out as a podcast right here on the podcast platform where you will be listening to this podcast. So lots going on in this season, Sam. We will get a game, I guess, at some stage in the next couple of weeks. We will then start to put drafts together properly. But for now, we've got plenty of player prices to chew over. We've got pens and pencils at the ready. We've got old school. We've got calculators on the go. And it's not stopping us doing some drafts.
No, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Love it.
I missed it.
FPL is back, guys. It's back. Speak to you soon. And yes, we will speak to you again before, many times I would assume, before game week 1. So like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.